This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
Guys of Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackey and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
It's a Scoop Session Tuesday here. Our friend Darren Doogie Wolfson from the 5 Eyewitness News Sports Department for some inside information and a little speculation about your favorite Minnesota sports teams. Is there a more giddy, happy owner in the NFL than Mark Wilf on NFL Network yesterday? He was on with like Pelissero and some of those guys. They had a big setup at the league meetings. And Mark Wilf could not wipe the smile off his face for the 10 or 12 minutes he was up there talking about the future of the Vikings. And they asked him about Sam Darnold. And he's like, we like Sam Darnold, but we have a plan in place. He had the look, if he was a poker player, he had the look of a man holding pocket aces, but trying to kind of make it seem like he didn't have pocket aces. Now, that was, I don't know if you guys saw that yesterday, but Mark Wilf, very excited for draft season, Dukes.
I did see it. Now, to answer your question, is there a more giddy owner? Jimmy Haslam, he still has ownership, a stake in the Milwaukee Bucks, right? So the Bucks are playing well. The Bucks look like they've found their mojo. So maybe Jimmy, who once upon a time was in the mix to actually buy the Wolves to bring it full circle. But yes, to, you know, go along with your inquiry, Mark has to be right up there, right? Yeah, I mean, I did see it on NFL Network on Monday. The giddiness is there. Like, think about it. This time next month, right? So today is what? March 26th. April 26th. We will know. 1 month from now, we will know who that guy is, who that quarterback is, that future quarterback of the Vikings. Yes, okay, Sam Darnold starts week one, but it's inevitable that whoever they end up with on April 25th is going to be the guy at some point in the near future.
Do we think that the giddiness of Mark Wilf was brought on by the fact it was a gorgeous day in Florida? By the fact that, you know what, he trusts his guys. Kevin O'Connell and Kwesi, as he talked about, are going to do right and will be involved, but, you know, they are the experts. Or do you think that we saw a guy who was giddy because he knows something? Because he knows that there's prearranged deals. Who knows exactly?
He said
what?
They have a plan, right? Yep. So does that mean that they have a deal in place to move up, or they have blueprints?
So I'm going to, Doug, set you up as if it's Thursday. Pretend it's a reckless speculation Thursday. None of this Tuesday BS. What do you think the happy o-meter on Mark Wilf is because of what he knows?
Well, I mean, I think it's up there, right? The weather probably does have something to do with it, though, knowing that, you know, even in New Jersey, it's probably not that pleasant right now. So it's hard to ignore just how beautiful it is right now in Orlando. In fact, the KOC family is down there, right? Perfect timing on spring break so they can do Disney and all that good stuff. But yes, I'm sure he has a good sense that the Vikings are going to move up. His front office is going to move up. The question is it a deal with LA at 5, Arizona at 4, New England at 3, or perhaps Washington at 2? I will tell you, there are league people, like I've heard some of the same stuff Pelissero has heard, but I'm trying to decipher, like, is it a smokescreen? Is it legit? But that there are enough league people who really believe J.J. McCarthy is the guy for Washington at 2. Now, hey, you reach out to some people close to Jaden Daniels, they'll tell you, nope, Jaden is going number 2. So I'm still trying to figure out how it plays out. Heck, would Washington even move off the second pick? We're still trying to figure out Adam Peters, the new front office there, Bob Myers with his NBA influence. Heck, Rick Spielman, our guy, with some fingerprints in Washington. What exactly is Washington going to do at pick 2? If I had to bet right now, okay, so it's reckless speculation Thursday on a Tuesday, the Vikings don't get up to 2, but I do think getting up to 3 New England is very much in play.
You know, we went through yesterday, we did a full episode on Purple Daily going through Dan Graziano on ESPN.com laid out specific trade scenarios for the Vikings moving up to 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. And so he laid out dealing directly with the Patriots at three. But then once he got to like 5-6, he laid out scenarios where the Vikings would move up. Like, because the Patriots, the problem with moving up with the Patriots is they may not want to move back to 11, Dukes. They may say, listen, we're open for business, but we ain't moving back that far. So can the Vikings go up to like 5 or 6, whatever capital it would take to make that happen, and then swing another trade with the Patriots so that they only fall back to like 5? You know, those are scenarios that are being discussed right now by very plugged in national reporters. So it's hard to get a read on this other than the owner of the Vikings and the head coach of the Vikings seem very happy and very at peace with what they've decided behind the scenes. But they have to be careful because if you move too early for like the 5th pick, okay, well then the Giants could jump you for the 4 and take the 4th quarterback off the board. So there's moves that you could make before the draft. Up to 3, you could do it tomorrow. Up to 5, I think you probably do that when the draft is already in motion, right?
Well, yes. I mean, certainly you need to protect yourself. Yeah, I mean, that would be the scenario, right? That the Giants from 6 move up to 4 and quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4. So then you're stuck at 5 saying, okay, now what? Although Marvin Harrison Jr. would be one heck of a consolation prize,
could
right?
You imagine? I mean,
I don't see them going receiver for a second year in a row, but like if he's the clear cut best prospect in this draft class.
Hey, they didn't need one in 98.
Like I would salivate to some extent. Like that would be really cool. Yeah, I mean, I don't see it actually happening, right? Much like, you know, my guy Mike Tannenbaum throwing out the idea of Kyler Murray to the Vikings. Okay, not happening, right? But fun fodder, you know, fun just to think about. But yeah, like to me, you're not making a trade in this moment for pick 5. Now, do I think like dialogue is taking place right now? Like when you have all these people in one location in Orlando right now, yes, whether informal or more so formal, like chatter is happening right now. Mark Wilf must have a good sense that they're going to be able to get up. The question to me just remains how high, not whether they can get up. It's just how high do they get up?
And I think the one thing that we don't know yet that's going to become important as far as the compensation package going back to a team goes is what is the marriage to that 2025 first? Because I will say this, in O'Connell's comments yesterday to reporters, he did talk about the fact, you know, that we all have to be on the same page, that it's important that we're on the same page. And that's great. And like fundamentally, that sounds fantastic. But at the end of the day, with a transaction like this, ain't no way the every decision maker is going to agree. So like, and this comes back to what we don't know. Who's the tiebreaker? Who says, hey, Kevin O'Connell is saying we got to move up to get Drake May. And this is what we're going to do. Because the compensation package is not going to be like palatable of, well, we're going to go look at Rich Hill. We looked at Rich Hill. We can't make that trade. So there's a lot of things here. And you know, Kwesi and Kevin probably see things differently. So this is the one thing we don't know because when asked, the Vikings aren't going to say it might come out someday, which is who has how much power and who has final say on things and who can put the kibosh on things. So I just think it's important, while it sounds fundamentally great that the whole building needs to agree, it's not really how you get this done. You're going to have some divisiveness, and at the end of the day, somebody's got to say, hey, you know what? Screw it. Let's go get our quarterback.
Well, I mean, I'm curious. Like, to me, there has to be alignment on if we can keep our 2025 first-round pick, let's do that. So, like, can we get up to 4 by giving up 11, 23, plus more, but that more is not your 2025 first-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to get up to 3, in all likelihood, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, but in all likelihood, you are giving up your 2025 first-round pick to get up to the Patriots pick.
Agreed.
So can you wheel and deal? Maybe it goes back to what you just said a minute or two ago, Phil, about maneuvering, getting in position, where can you get to 5 and then get to 3? Like, there's multiple moves in play where you somehow protect that 2025 first-round pick, or is the separation in their minds? Now, again, like, we don't even know who's going to, but let me just go on the premise that it's Jaden Daniels at pick 2. So what is the separation in their minds between Drake May and J.J. McCarthy? Is that difference enough to say, okay, we love Drake that much. Yes, we are giving up our 2025 first. Drake is our guy. Or, hey, we have healthy opinions on both of these guys. Yeah, we favor one over the other, but they are close enough. Or, hey, we're okay with, let's say, JJ, and we get to hold on to our 2025 first. I don't know if we'll ever have that answer, but that to me is maybe the most fascinating thing.
See, you know, the way Doogie just lays it out, I've been saying this for the last couple episodes on Purple Daily, and I literally have hundreds of people in the comment section calling me a coward and scared.
You're scared.
Identify your guy and do whatever it takes to move up the board. Like, okay, calm down, tough guy.
Well, here's why I want the Vikings to
draft
blowback.
A quarterback too, but.
Yeah, I'm telling you, Phil, until I hear otherwise, yes, I'm positive. Because again, Caleb is going one. So among Jaden, JJ, Drake. I get it. They have somebody they prefer among those three. But my understanding is, like, there's a good amount of interest in all three. So I just don't know how much separation there is.
No, you must identify one guy only and give up all of your future first-round picks.
But that's the key. The key is, and we don't know, the thing that we think, but we don't know for sure is, do they include McCarthy? And it appears that they do in a big four. Because it was a big three. So, like, of those four, who do they really want? And then, you know, if they like May and McCarthy, but this is where I think we're going to get into, or we're in the midst of the most interesting part of this entire thing, you guys, because this is, as O'Connell talks a lot, like he says a lot, when he gives chapter and verse on the pro days are fine, but what we really value is going to the kid's college campus and then going out to eat with that kid to see when he walks in to the restaurant, if he could sort of controls it. And you know exactly what O'Connell is like that. Like you might think, oh, come on, what do you mean? But I know exactly what he's saying. And so like if Drake May walks in and he gets a tuna fish sandwich and he's a dead ass, that's going to change their opinion there. So like this,
dude, if you just order a tuna fish sandwich,
questions.
Might be a red flag.
But that's what I'm saying. But and like tuna he doesn't fish, tip. Drake.
You at least like have to toast your bread, right?
If he doesn't know who the waitress's name is, like I wouldn't know. Well, then I wouldn't draft the kid. But anyway, this to me is where you really get to separate these guys as people. Like because this is also about drafting a person. This is not an athlete. This is an athlete, yes. But it's also the person, and this is where I think you're going to separate them as far as a very important dynamic, which is when you walk into that locker room on day one, do you think people should respect you, or do you want to earn their respect?
Yes, and so that's why it goes back to what I alluded to in this space last Tuesday, that I should have more said a week plus that Kevin O'Connell, now, hey, he's been traveling, right? He's in Orlando, right, and now enjoying some family time. But the idea is to get some private time with all these quarterbacks. So credit to Albert Breer for the initial JJ McCarthy steam on this private workout gathering that's forthcoming. But the idea is with the LSU quarterback, with the North Carolina quarterback, to do the same. Now, hey, the Vikings will have representation in Baton Rouge tomorrow for LSU Pro Day. But I'm just saying the idea is to spend some time with Jaden away from Pro Day, to spend some time away from Drake after his Pro Day on Thursday. So it is an incredibly busy stretch because you think about all the draft prospects that will be in town April 7th and 8th. So think about today, March 26th through April 8th, how much diligence the Vikings will be doing.
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
Hey, before we keep going here, and we want your thoughts on some of the draft visits coming up for the Vikings, and then we can get into some Timberwolf stuff here. But a shout out to our friends, Judd, at Finch Home Solutions. Got an army of vans roaming around in purple and gold looking to fix your electrical systems.
Absolutely. Yeah. And guess what? When it comes to in any electrical work that you need done at your house, they're your first round pick. Like, you don't have to vet all of these companies. Because Finch is going to, you know what, walk in courteous, kind, friendly, leadership.
Tuna fish sandwiches.
Tuna fish sandwiches are out for Finch. Cody Finch does not eat those. No, but what he does do is he specializes in projects big or small, upgrades to current systems, electrical servicing, storm damage, breakers tripping, flickering lights. Finch Home Solutions has all of your home needs covered. There's nothing more important than protecting your home and, more importantly, your family when it comes to the electronics in your home. Their specials include $199 for an entire home safety inspection. The value of that, $357. You're looking at them right there. The team at Finch Home Solutions has you covered. 612-357-2604. FinchHomeSolutions.com. FinchHomeSolutions.com. Nobody's a bigger Vikings fan or a bigger fan of protecting your home than Cody Finch and his team.
For the YouTube audience, they do every day. They just line up their vans and they put on their Finch shirts and they do the drone flyover. It's how they open their day.
And the Gjallarhorn plays too.
Yeah, every single day.
They disperse the vans by the Gjallarhorn.
Also, Zero Res is here for spring cleaning season. And now that it's all crappy out the last couple of days, you're trudging in muck and wetness and snow. And if you got kids running around, the dog, whatever, it's time for a deep clean here later on this week. And Zero Res comes in with their Score North special. Three rooms, Zero Resified, starting at just $129. And this month you can take $75 off when you get those air ducts Zero Res clean. Call 952-0-RES or ZeroResMinnesota.com and say you want the Score North special. Spell it forward or backwards. It spells the same. Zero Res. So, Dukes, what else do you have in your Vikings scoop bag? We've got all sorts of draft visits coming up. When's their top 30? Or their, like, what were they called? Were they bringing 30 prospects that they like? Is that coming up sometime soon?
Yeah, April 7th and 8th. That's Sunday and Monday. Ed, I don't even know if some of these names are out, not out. But anyway, Michael Hall, a defensive tackle from Ohio State, add him to the list of prospects coming into town. O'Connell alluded to this on Monday, how much work, how much the Vikings were in on some of these defensive tackles, namely Christian Wilkins. Like, what the Raiders gave Wilkins, I think, surprised the Vikings. Like, the Vikings, like, those, like, 48 hours leading into the official start of free agency.
Yeah.
Like, I'm telling you, like, the Vikings were feeling very, very good about their chances of landing Christian Wilkins. And so they didn't. So, like, they like a lot of these interior defensive linemen, too, in this draft class. I don't know how you maneuver for some of the top guys, but they certainly are doing a lot of homework on interior defensive linemen. Also, I think the L'Jarius Sneed trade to Tennessee, did that happen after our conversation last Thursday?
I'm still getting some
follow-up, you know, questions about that. I think it was a combination. Like, clearly, I've said this for weeks, the Vikings had dialogue with Kansas City. Heck, Sneed was very intrigued with the idea of playing for Brian Flores. Like, he was uber pumped about that possibility. Sneed was all about, hey, if we can make it work, I want to be a Viking. But it wasn't like Vikings or bust. It was a combination because some people are saying, hey, the Vikings are about to get multiple 2025 third round compensatory picks. So why wouldn't you give up a 2025 third round pick? Combination, right? They still want to keep as many draft picks as possible, especially with this idea that they are going to move up here in a month. So, hey, like, you don't want to be sacrificing all these future draft picks if you're giving up something to move up now, right? You want to maintain as much flexibility moving forward as possible. So my understanding is twofold, right? Like, it was the draft compensation, even with the compensatory picks coming in, plus the contract. Like, they knew it would take big money, but maybe that contract in the end that Tennessee gave Sneed, maybe it went a little bit higher than the Vikings anticipated. So bottom line, yes, there was chatter, but like never it didn't get to the point of, like, you know, Vikings and Chiefs, like, you know, getting to the, to use the football cliche, 1 yard line or 2 yard line. Like, it never got that.
Like, close. The 3 yard line, you think, Dukes?
Not even the three. Yeah. Okay, so, right. You know, there was mutual interest. Don't get me wrong, but my understanding is it never came super close.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to have to start hitting on, especially in the trenches, on some of these, like, day three picks. If you go back and look at the last few years, and last year, we'll see what happened. Jaqueline Roy might wind up being in the rotation at some point, but
yeah, I think he will be. Yeah.
There's a lot of just, and you're not going to hit on every fourth, fifth, sixth rounder, but they're going to need a Danielle Hunter. They're going to need to find some of these guys that they used to find for a number of years, and you're going to go through ebbs and flows.
But to that point, Phil, look at what the Chiefs have done on day three. Like, they're replacing guys with day three picks, offensive line, cornerbacks. Like, that's Mahomes is great. He's fantastic. This is not in any way disparaging him. But when you look at what the Chiefs have done from a drafting standpoint and developmental standpoint and the ability to trade a Snead without it being crippling, like, that's where you need to be.
Yep. It's and that's if you move up the board to what Doogie was just saying, too. Let's say you wind up. All right. Screw it. We think that Drake May or Jaden Daniels is a franchise changing quarterback, and there is a gap enough between them and the other quarterbacks that it is worth giving up the 2025 first round pick. So you got your guy, but now you only have, so you're going to have no more picks this year until the fourth round. And you're going to have a bunch of fourth, fifth, sixth round picks. That's great. And then next year, you're going to have maybe a couple of third, but right now they have two third round comp picks, or what, they have one third round comp pick because the signing of Shaq Griffin mathematically changed the equation. So you're now hoping that Dalton Reisner signs a contract somewhere else to get the third round. But my point is, like, you don't have first and second round picks the next couple of years once you identify your quarterback. So you're going to need to nail a starting defensive tackle maybe in the fourth round in one of these drafts.
That's the idea, right? So, like, I'm just telling you, like, yes, legit interest in Snead, but because of a lot of that, like what you just laid out, like, I just don't know if there was ever a time where I would have made the Vikings the betting favorite to land Snead. So I guess what I'm getting at is I'm not surprised he ended up elsewhere.
Yeah. Timberwolves. So the Timberwolves with a nice little win a couple nights ago against the Warriors. TJ Warren's 10-day contract, his second 10-day contract expired. He's been out of the rotation. But they've been winning games without Karl Anthony Towns. Dukes, they're 6-3. Naz Reid and Chris Finch talked about this a couple nights ago. That, yeah, he has committed to shooting 8 or more threes per game. And he is. He's shooting 10, 11, 8, 8, 9. And Karl Anthony Towns only shooting 5. So they're getting kind of better spacing, and they're getting just more three-point attempts up without Cat, which is kind of amazing because he's one of the best three-point shooters in the league. But just your general thoughts on the Timberwolves have not crumbled in these 9 games. They're still trying to figure out kind of what that roster looks like going into the playoffs and who's going to be healthy. But they're still sitting there with a chance to take the number one overall seed in
the
West.
Now, you brought up the name TJ Warren. He'll be here for the rest of the year. So his second 10-day expires today, but he'll be in uniform tomorrow night at Target Center against Detroit. The idea is TJ Warren here for the rest of the season. You think about the 3 losses. So 6-3 without Cat, the 3 losses at Cleveland. What a weird game. Like, Jared Allen's never going to shoot that many free throws in a game the rest of his career. Then you lose at the LA Lakers, you lose to Denver, and you were down multiple guys. So really, you look at their body of work in these 9 games, minus Cat, pretty darn good. You look at the rest of the schedule, Phil, pretty favorable. 7 home games, 4 road games. Now, the 4 road games are tricky, right? 2 in Denver, 1 at the LA Lakers, 1 at Phoenix. But you look at the home games, like tomorrow night, Detroit. Well, guess what? Like, I'm told there's some internal chatter about giving Mike Conley the night off tomorrow. It makes sense. Like, why would you need to play Mike Conley Jr. against Detroit? You should be able to win that game. You've got Washington coming in soon, right? I mean, if you want to make a case that the Rockets home game is tricky, the Phoenix home game, I get it. But, like, to me, 7-4 is very realistic to finish the regular season. So where does 7-4 get you? I'm not sure it gets you to 1. But does it get you to 2 because you have tiebreaker?
If the 2 of the wins are against Denver, then because that's the thing. Like,
you're right.
You beat Denver, it changes the equation.
Agree, but I think Denver ends up with the 1. I think the 2 is key. And hey, I've told you this. Like, Glenn Taylor, others with the Wolves will tell you, yes, we want the 1 seed. A couple other Wolves higher ups, though, like, there's a difference of opinion. They will say, hey, like, there's such a target on your back when you're the 1. We'll happily be the 2. I'll tell you what, you look at the standings right now, if New Orleans is the 4, Denver is the 1, if the Wolves can get to 2, that to me is the ideal scenario. The true ideal scenario would be if Sacramento's the 7. And I get it. Sacramento's got some wins this year against the Wolves. But I'd rather play Sacramento than Dallas or Phoenix. Okay, so to me, if you can play Sacramento in the first round, then get, let's say, Oklahoma City in the second round with home court advantage as the two seed, that to me is your pathway to getting to the Western Conference Finals. But bottom line, I think it's realistic when you look at Oklahoma City's remaining schedule, you look at the Wolves' remaining schedule, that they can leapfrog the Thunder. I think it's going to be really hard to leapfrog Denver.
Dukes, what's the expectation on Kat's return as far as timing goes? And just as importantly, I guess, what's the, if there is, internal scuttlebutt about where he's going to be? Because a meniscus is not a small thing. Now, you could certainly come back and play, but it takes you a little bit of time to come back. So what's the expectation for Kat? And do you think his role or his minutes change, at least for a while, because of the fact that Naz has stepped up and Naz has been great. And there are areas of the game that I actually think Naz is preferable, i.e. what Finch talked about a couple days ago, which is the spacing. Like, Naz totally gets the spacing, and the spacing improves with him. It's not to, again, not to disparage Kat, but what's the overall, I'm not a hater. Trying to stay away from Cousins hater.
He's hating.
I'm not hating at all. I'm talking about what this team is going to do, high expectations. What do you know? Go.
Well, I mean, I don't know, Judd, if there's a definitive answer right now. Like, who do they match up with in the first round? There is a belief that Kat is going to be back. So that's the headline here, okay? That Kat, they feel like, especially now, what, about 7 to 8 days removed from the surgery in L.A., that, like, he's going to come back this year, that he's not lost for the season. But is that for game one of the playoffs on either April 20th or 21st, that Saturday or Sunday? Or is it more like, because the first round of the playoffs is so spread out, right? Like, the Wolves could play on Saturday, April 20th, then game two could be Wednesday or Thursday. Like, you might have 4 days between games one and two, or 4 days between games two and three. So, like, do the Wolves say, okay, let's give him that extra 7 to 8 days. Let's bring him back for game three compared to game one. Like, let's see where he's at in about a week to 10 to even 14 days, potentially 2 weeks.
Sure.
To get a better sense of when he'll be back. But I'm just telling you, internally, there is a strong belief that Kat is going to be back this year. But, like, on the minutes inquiry, Judd, like, are they up 2-0 in a playoff series? Are they down 2-0? Like, what does the spacing look like? How is Naz playing?
Right.
What sort of shape is Kat in? I mean, there's only so much cardio he can do recovering from the meniscus surgery, right? I mean, upper body all you want, right? But there's only so much you can do in terms of running, movement, right? You know, really developing a sweat. So, like, what sort of shape will Kat be in? So there's still a lot of questions to be answered, but the overall question of will Kat be back this year? The Wolves expect him to be back.
See, another wild card here, Dukes, is Jordan McLaughlin has been so great with that second unit for 10 to 15 minutes.
Fan. Love him.
I mean, he was literally being left unguarded on the court in that Denver series and down the stretch in the regular season.
He was hurt. He wasn't healthy. Yeah.
He's shooting 48% from three. And he's not a guy that you're going to run out there for 30 minutes. But I guess the point I'm making is, if there's a question about Kat cutting it close for the first round, and this team continues to be winning at the pace they're winning at, they're 6-3 without him. You outlined a couple of the losses. I mean, my God, that loss to Denver, where they had none of their three big men, they're playing at a really high level without Carl. I would personally, unless he's ready to rock and his cardio is in shape and they can get some practices in before the playoffs, I would go into the first round saying no Carl. Unless, now here's my question to you. Can you activate a guy in the middle of a series, or would he'd have to be active and then on the bench if you're planning on not playing him? I guess what I'm saying is I would reserve him for like a jolt if you fall behind in the series and you need another chess move, or just wait until the second round altogether. I would not rush him back.
Yeah, you can have him on the bench, right? I mean, he's technically active, just not one of
DMP.
The rotation guys. So he's sitting there in uniform, but just doesn't come off the bench. I don't know, Phil. I think that's a slippery slope. I mean, I guess it comes down to who are they playing?
Like, they're playing the Warriors.
Well, I mean, the Warriors don't match up well with Kat.
Well, they'd have to be the one seed to play the Warriors, right? The only chance the Warriors have is they're going to be in the bottom play-in bracket. So they're going to have to win a game and then win another game. So they'd be the eight seed. So,
well, I mean, let's say the Wolves are the two. Let's say the Warriors go on a little run. They win the 9-10 game, right? Although they can only get up to eight, right? Because if they're not in the 7-8 game, the winner of 7-8 is the seven. So, yeah, you're looking at a scenario where the Wolves would need to
they're
be
playing
the one.
Suns. They're playing the Suns.
The Warriors the eight.
I don't think it's worth, if you're playing really well, why rush him back into
a
situation?
I'll tell you what, if you're playing Dallas on one cat. I do. I think it comes down to matchup.
I want fully healthy Cat, conditioned
that's
Cat.
It, right? Like, we need to, yeah, I mean, you're right.
Is he going
to
be
not
that?
Playing him game one on April 20th if he's literally only gotten, like, one practice in. And maybe he wasn't even full contact practice, right? So that's why we need to see where he's at those 6 days. So the regular season wraps on April 14th. Where is he on Monday, April 15th, Tuesday, April 16th, Wednesday, April 17th? Yeah. What is he able to do? Is he able to do anything? Is it full contact? Like, let's see where he's at in that time frame. But I'm just telling you, the expectation is at some point. Now, maybe it's game four, right? So maybe you give him an extra 8-9 days. You give him games 1 through 3 off. Then in that scenario, Phil, what if you're up 3-0? Okay, well, you're probably not bringing Cat back. Or maybe you bring him back for a handful of minutes, but you're probably not disrupting whatever led to being up 3-0. So that's why. There's so many factors in play, but I'm just telling you, like, they expect him to be back.
All right, what else is left in your scoop bag? Rapid fire here before we close the show, Dukes.
I don't know if this is official. Probably logical with Caleb Thielbar on the injured list, but Cody Funderburk has been told, hey, you're heading to Kansas City. So Cody Funderburk will begin the season in the Twins bullpen. Happy for him because there was a chance for him in the winter to go to Japan, start in Japan, make good money, but the Twins wouldn't let him out of his contract, which I get, right? Like, he's a legit big leaguer that has options. So, like, the Twins are like, you know what? No. Like, we like you. And, hey, we can start you
and
if
now
need
you're
be.
In the
if everybody's
big.
Healthy.
No. Bad reliever.
We'll start you
bad
in the same ball. So, anyway, Cody Funderburk on his way to Kansas City to be in the Twins bullpen. Andrew Morgan from Waseca was second team All-Summit League at North Dakota State. He will visit the Gophers on Thursday. So Ben Johnson working the portal pretty good. He's also after Taylor Heisey's brother, Nate Heisey from Lake City, had a good run at Northern Iowa, still has 2 years of eligibility. He got a medical red shirt with a finger injury a couple years ago, but he was all conference this year. And hey, like, Iowa State's after him. There's a lot of schools after him. The money being tossed about, and I wish I could verify some of this, but like the money being tossed about in the portal is freaking nuts. It really is. And so, like, the Gophers have some money, actually more money than I think a lot of people realize, but it's not as much money as some other programs. So I'm curious to see how it all plays out. But certainly the Gophers, I think, have a good chance to land both Morgan and Heisey. I'm also keeping my eye on Will Cheddar from Stuartville from Michigan. So Michigan just got the Florida Atlantic coach. That's a good get, Dusty May. So maybe Will stays in Ann Arbor. But if Will enters the portal, that would be another name to keep an eye on. But the Gophers are also reaching out on some other names, names that don't resonate locally, guards. I mean, they've been working the portal pretty good. So that tells you that they're anticipating losing some guys. Like, I know there's a meeting, heck, another conversation today, like on Parker Fox. Like, what does Parker do? I'd love to see Parker back. I'll tell you guys, if you'd asked me in October, I would have told you 100% no way, no how. Is Parker back, even though he has another year of eligibility. But my understanding is, and hey, we saw it on the court, like, he got minutes. He had so much fun this year. He loves that program so much. I think he's balancing, okay, yeah, I'm in my mid-20s. Do I need yet another year of college, or
I'm
is
36.
It time to start, you know, my real life? Yes.
My wife and kids just want me to come
home. I know. But there is some balancing going on, even though I'm telling you, like, in October, I thought it was a slam dunk, no way, no how. Would Parker be back? But just based on all the activity the Gophers are doing in the portal, it's pretty clear that they're anticipating losing some guys.
Yeah. There he is, folks. Darren Doogie Wolfson from the 5 Eyewitness News Sports Department every Tuesday and Thursday here on Minnesota Sports with Mac.
One other note, by the way, Luca Garza. So if the Wolves are in a position where maybe they're locked into, like, let's say the 3, Luca's fine games-wise. So he's on that 2-way, but you can only be active so many games. Yeah. Somebody asked me that the other day. Hey, where are the Wolves at with Luca in terms of games? Luca could literally dress every game the rest of the way. The Wolves are in a good spot there activating him.
Okay. Darren Doogie Wilson, folks. Great stuff, Dugues. We'll talk again on Thursday.
Yep, sounds good. See ya.
All right, and that's a wrap here on this episode. A little Scoop Tuesday. A little Reckless Speculation Thursday on a Tuesday as well here. We'll see you guys for another session on Thursday.